Hello and welcome from Good Shepherd Church of Camarillo. We're so glad you're with us. Here's today's message.
It's been so encouraging. So much appreciate the work of our children's teachers, our Kingdom Kids teachers. It's such a blessing as a parent the last several weeks, without even having to prompt my kids, I've heard them reciting the Bible verses from what they learn on Sunday mornings, just at random times on a Sunday afternoon or sometime during the week. They're saying it to each other, and just what a great joy that is, that our kids are learning the truth of Scripture together on these Sunday mornings and carrying it with them throughout the week. Well, today we're going to be starting a three-part series on Psalm 23. How many of you have ever heard of Psalm 23? Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's such a popular passage of Scripture, the most popular psalm of all time, and arguably one of the most well-known pages in all of Scripture, and I've had this one on my heart for a while, and I've wanted to do it, and I realized there's so much here. Psalm 23 there's a reason why it's so popular, right? And realize that we need to spend a good 3 weeks going through this, and we're going to look at several different themes. One of them today, we're going to be looking at how the Lord, our shepherd, is our provider. Next week, we're going to look at how he is our protector in the dark valley, the valley of the shadow of death, or the darkest valley, the darkest hour, the darkest season of our life. He is our protector from all evil. And then last, as we wrap up, we're going to be looking at how the Lord, our shepherd, is our pursuer, that he chases after us with his love. Not only does he give us his love and give us his mercy, but he chases after us with his goodness. And so we're going to read together Psalm 23, the whole thing. We're not going to be covering the whole thing today, but I'm going to invite you to read along with me. It should be up on the screen here, Psalm 23. We're going to read the whole thing. It's actually not that long, believe it or not. Such a popular passage. It's only 6 verses long. So let's read this together, these familiar words to many of us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. So it starts out sounding so nice. I'm sure many of us have a picture in our mind, right, when we hear these words from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. There's a picture up here of sheep out in the pasture. And if you go to the next slide here, maybe this is what some of you picture, right? These sheep out in this beautiful, lush, green pasture, right? And they've just got, no cares in the world. And then they've got just everything that they need, just the abundance of grass and that comfortable grass that they can lay down in, just so much there. And they would never want anything. Go to the next picture. This is what I initially think of when I think of the Lord is my shepherd, shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. This picture, I'm actually In this picture, I think I've showed this picture maybe one time quite a while back, but I'm one of these guys in that picture. And this picture was actually taken on the coast of Northern Ireland. This was right after I had graduated college. Back in 2007, I had gone on a choir tour over in the UK to Ireland, Scotland, and England, and it was an incredible trip. And some of the most beautiful scenery I've ever seen, I saw here on the coast of Northern Ireland, partly just because of the coastline and the cliffs, and it was just gorgeous. And then what everyone thinks of course, with Ireland is just the green, right? That's what the image that comes to mind. And I'm not kidding. It was just like driving through the countryside. You see sheep out in the green pastures all over the place, and those those rock wall fences, you see that all over, and it's beautiful, and it looks so comforting, and it looks so picture perfect. And we stopped along the way, and we just kept looking out in these pastures, and kind of some of us longed to just like run out in these pastures. And so that's what we did. Our bus stopped, and we saw this little trail here, and we're like, we got to check this out. We got to pretend to be sheep just for a little while. And so we ran out in this this green pasture right here, and I'm not kidding. It was amazing. The grass was like, it was just this thick, green, lush grass, and then you sit down in it, and it felt like you're sitting on a mattress. It's not like any grass that we have here. It was just like this thick bed of grass, and it was so comfortable. And that's what we often picture when we think of the green pastures that David is talking about here. We just kind of want to run out there and roll around in it, and just kind of, you know, we're in the abundance of this grass and this peace that's around us. Then the other thing that we picture, it goes on to talk about the still waters. I should have another picture up here. This might be what you think of, especially maybe this time of year, the fall, and different parts of the country. We don't get it quite as much here in Southern California, the bright fall colors, the vivid orange and red as the leaves turn. And then you just picture this lake, right? This nice, still lake. He leads me beside still waters, and that can be some of the imagery that comes to mind. Now, it's probably true in your life that maybe you've had those moments in life, you know, where you picture that, you know, being in the lush green grass, that pasture, or maybe you're sitting alongside these still waters, and that can be maybe a moment in your life where you physically are in one of those places and enjoying the surroundings, and it just does something for your mind, it just does something for your soul. But maybe it can be a season in your life where you are experiencing that the green and the lush and the abundance of what's around you, or just the peace. Maybe your life just feels like this picture here. But what I want to ask today is that a true picture of life in general? You know, when you picture just throughout your life, do you picture, you know, those lush green pastures all the time? Do you picture the nice still waters with this beautiful background of the nice bright trees? That's not true of our entire lives. And it's true that you know, you could build a house alongside that pasture and have that view the whole rest of your life. And it's true that you could, you know, build a cabin on this lake where this type of setting right here, and you could enjoy that. But I guarantee you that life is going to go on, isn't it? You'll kind of get used to that grass. You'll get used to that view. You'll get used to the quiet waters. And those quiet waters aren't always going to be quiet, are they? And those leaves are going to fall off. You're going to go through winter. It's not really a true picture of all of life. We're not exempt from the problems of life, even if we build our house on that green pasture, or if we build our house along this quiet water, this quiet lake. And so what in the world is David talking about here? Because if we want to see a picture here in Psalm 23, we want to trust in the shepherd that he's talking about. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. Well, what's he talking about? What type of pastures is he talking about? What type of still waters is he talking about? If those green, bright green pastures aren't a true picture throughout our lives, then what's he talking about? Well, I got another picture here. This is actually a picture of the Judean wilderness. This is likely a more accurate picture of the circumstances in which David was shepherding, you know, and he was reflecting back to his early days as a shepherd and using that imagery in his mind and thinking about his relationship with God, that God is his shepherd. This picture here of the Judean wilderness is a more accurate picture of what David is thinking. And you might be wondering, the natural question is, well, where's the green pasture? Does anyone see the green pasture in here? Or I don't see those still waters that he's talking about here in Psalm 23. I mean, it looks dry as a bone out here, doesn't it? It looks kind of like certain parts of Southern California this time of year, doesn't it? Any brush is just going to go up in flames immediately. And yet, David says, in confidence, even with this image in his mind, this is what he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I have everything I need. Or some versions say, I lack nothing. And to us, when we look at this picture, it pretty much lacks everything. Doesn't it lack pretty much everything that we long for? There's not much to look at there. But yet this is a more accurate picture of the reality of life. And we, the truth is that we have many times and seasons in the wilderness of life. And I want to think through some examples of wilderness seasons of life. And I don't know what type of wilderness experiences you have had, or maybe wilderness experiences that you might be going through right now, but I want to suggest a few examples. Maybe it's a wilderness experience of loneliness. You know, maybe you're just feeling the loss of relationships, or you're just feeling lonely in your life right now. Maybe you're feeling abandoned, or like nobody cares about you. We can have seasons like that. Maybe it's a season of strained relationships or broken fellowship with someone, maybe a close friend or family strife. And I've heard over and over again from people in psychology that relational strife, and especially family strife, can be some of the deepest stress that you can ever experience. And that can feel like a season of being in the wilderness, a wilderness season of life. Maybe it's a season of financial uncertainty. You know, maybe you've got your paycheck coming up, maybe this week or next week, but you're looking ahead to the next month and there's uncertainties. Maybe you're looking ahead to the next 6 months and wondering about the certainty of your job, or looking ahead, you just don't know what next year is going to bring, and you don't know if you're going to be guaranteed that paycheck or not. Maybe it's a season of loss and grief, and it's a season that you, a time where you have never navigated this before, and you're just struggling with how to get through this, and the feelings, the emotions of the loss and of the grief. It's maybe a season of uncertainty about the future. And I think this is something that, by and large, our society is really feeling right now. Because I think for so long, you know, we've been able to, by and large, we've been able to plan ahead quite a bit. And we've learned techniques about planning and, you know, setting calendars. I mean, how many calendar apps are out there nowadays, and you can look ahead, you can look far ahead and plan things way far out. You can plan trips, you can plan your schooling, you can plan your careers and where you want to be, you know, in 5 years, 10 years, planning for retirement, all of those things. And maybe you're in a season right now where you don't know what's coming next. Maybe there's uncertainty about those next steps in your life. Maybe it's future plans for schooling. Maybe you're struggling right now with what's next, the next steps in your career. Or maybe it's a season of suffering in your health. Maybe you're not finding answers to some health issue. You haven't found answers from the doctors or from the specialists, and you're digging, you're searching for answers as to why you're suffering, and you're not finding it. It could be, finally, spiritually dry seasons. I've had periods of time in my life where I've just felt like, God, why are you so quiet right now? Why am I not hearing much from you? Or God, it feels like these prayers are going out, but I'm just not being heard, you know? And the truth is that God does hear, because he promises that in his word, that he always hears us. But sometimes we can go through periods where it just feels like the prayers are going out and they're just hitting the wall, they're just hitting the ceiling. And you long for that closeness with God. You long to feel that closeness with him. And yet, whether you find yourself right now in a wilderness of what I'm describing, or whether you experience that a week from now or a year from now or 5 years from now, I don't know what your life is going to bring. But I want you to know today, whether you're in that season now or about to enter that season, is that you have everything you need. You have everything you need. And I know that because of what Psalm 23 says here in this expression of trust that David declares, and that we are blessed to have, that we can have this same expression of trust in the shepherd who's guiding us and providing for us along the way. And I believe that we often have a trust problem. I don't know if you can identify with this, but I know that I have times where I have a trust problem with God. You know, in those seasons of uncertainty, in those wilderness times, you can start to doubt God's goodness. You can start to doubt that God is going to provide. You can start to doubt that God is going to show you the way and direct your next steps. And I believe that one of the best things that we can do in seasons like that, that strengthens our trust, is to declare our trust to God. Is to remind ourselves of what he has promised, and then praise him for it, but in the process, we declare it. We declare our trust. To declare that, yes, God, I know you promised that you are going to provide. So, God, I trust that you are going to provide. I don't know how you're going to do it, but you are going to provide. When you're tempted to doubt that God is good because of your circumstances, or because of maybe the evil that you see around you, or that you're experiencing the effects of, when you doubt that God is good, just simply declare to him, because he says he is good. Throughout the Psalms, Lord, you are good. Your mercy endures forever. To declare that trust in him that he is good, or when you feel lost and the next steps are unclear, you can declare, God, I know that you will show the way. You will direct my steps. It's uncertain now. I don't know how you're going to lead me, but you will. I know that you will direct me. What I want to leave you with today are three anchors of truth that strengthen our trust in the shepherd. Three anchors of truth that strengthen our trust in the shepherd. And the first one is this, that God will provide what you need when you need it. He will. He'll provide what you need when you need it. Verse 2 says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, if we go back to that slide, that picture of the Judean wilderness, again, the question is, well, where are the green pastures? Looking out in this uncertainty, God, you promised to lead me to green pastures? Well, what are you talking about? If this is a picture of where David, the image that David has in mind, well, a shepherd in the Judean wilderness is always leading his flock along. Because, see, again, what we tend to picture is that fenced-in place where, you know, the grass is just always growing and there's an abundance all the time. But a shepherd in the Judean wilderness would lead his flocks to the places where they would find the green on the hillside. And what's so amazing about the Judean wilderness is that as you look out, it's just so dry and it just gets very little rainfall, kind of like here in Southern California. But of course, there's the rainy season where there's going to be more vegetation, more grass growing, and that might be more of a season of abundance. But in the dry seasons, what's amazing is that there's just enough moisture in the Judean wilderness overnight. And the dew comes up around the rocks and other plants that are out there. And the moisture, the humidity that comes off the Mediterranean Sea is just enough moisture to cause tufts of grass to come up in different spots, specifically near rocks and around rocks and around the corners, because that moisture gets trapped in there and these tufts of grass grow up. And so what the shepherd does then is leads his flock to these places where they can find the green on the hillside. And they get just what they need when they need it. They get the nourishment and sustenance right then and there. And then what do they do next? The shepherd leads them on to another place. Isn't that such a picture of the way that God provides for us? Along the way, that God provides just enough. And I believe that part of the reason why we have a trust problem is because enough to us throughout our lives has often been an abundance, hasn't it? I think that's true of my life. I look back on times where, you know, we've had plenty. Enough was more than enough. And many of us have gotten used to that. And so in times of scarcity, in times of uncertainty, we're often what we're lacking is the abundance. Where's all that green grass around us? I want to have the comfort and the comfort of knowing that there's going to be enough next week and there's going to be enough a month from now or a year from now, and I don't have to worry about it. And God doesn't want us to worry. But he just wants us to trust him, that he's going to provide what's needed when we need it. This is crazy to think about, but a report in January of 2020 showed that Americans collectively spend $38 billion per year on self-storage. $38 billion a year on self-storage. Do we have an abundance? We often do, and we have gotten used to the abundance in many ways, and it has weakened our trust in the uncertain times of life. And I think of the Apostle Paul, the testimony of the Apostle Paul, who went out to declare the gospel in all places in Asia Minor, and going and starting churches and spreading the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ and all the challenges that he encountered. Now we know that he was shipwrecked, that he went for days without sleep, sleepless nights he talked about. He faced times of being so hungry. And this is what he said in Philippians then, Philippians 4, 11 through 13, he said, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. There's a key word there. He learned. He learned. He had to exercise that trust that God is going to provide what he needed when he needed. Verse 12, he says, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. He said, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. But notice that he says, he remembers the times of abundance. He was content in the abundance, but he was also content in the times of need. He was content in the times of hunger. Because what he also knew is that sometimes when those physical provisions lack, God's going to provide the spiritual strength to get through. And that was what he learned, because verse 13, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So even in those times of need, even in those times of hunger, when you don't know how God's going to provide for you, even later in the same day or in the next day, you can know for certain that God's going to give you the spiritual strength to face whatever it is that you're going to face. And that brings us to the next truth, is that God will provide rest for your soul. Another promise, another truth that we can take from Psalm 23 is that God will provide rest for your soul. Verse 2, second half of verse 2 and first part of verse 3, he says, he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And again, we tend to picture, you know, those moments in life where, you know, you're at the lake and you're in, maybe in your happy place. Being at the lake is kind of my happy place. And again, it kind of does something for your soul and gives you that, maybe that short time of rest and refreshment. But what I believe what David's talking about here is a deep spiritual rest. What he's talking about here is the rest that we can find in Jesus, in the person and the work of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And Psalm 42:1 talks about the longing that each one of us have. And David, as he had come to know the shepherd, and as he had come to know God so deeply and personally, he continued to long for God and long for that spiritual rest. Psalm 42, verse 1, he says, as a deer pants for the flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. I believe that there is a longing inside every human being that only Jesus can fill. Only Jesus is going to provide rest for our souls. Psalm 62:1, David says, truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. The only reason that he could experience true rest for his soul is because he knew that his salvation, the promise of eternal life for him was found in God, his Savior. And we understand that to be in the person of Jesus Christ. When he died on the cross for our sins, and when he rose again to new life, and he conquered death, and he conquered sin once and for all. And because of that, we can trust in him. It says that there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What each person on this earth is searching for and longing for can only be found in Jesus Christ, in him alone. You know, Jesus was the ultimate shepherd. He told his followers, he said, I am the good shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. You know what's so amazing about that? Jesus as our good shepherd. You know, David's talking about the Lord, his shepherd. And Jesus is the perfect picture of that shepherd for each one of us. That Jesus as the good shepherd went through everything that we went through. He spent 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness being tempted by Satan. Went without food for 40 days. It says that he was tempted in every way as we are, yet was without sin. He felt every emotion that we can experience. He knew what it was, just like Paul, to have an abundance, and he knew what it was to have need. And what's amazing about our Good Shepherd is that he has gone before us. He has walked this road ahead of us. And because of that, Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." And that's not only physical needs, but most important, our spiritual needs. The assurance of our place in heaven. Fulfilling that longing for something deeper and a purpose in life is only found in the person of Jesus, his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And as a result of that, no matter what we face in life, whether it's the abundance or whether it's the need or whether it's a time of peace or a time of tragedy, whatever it is, Isaiah 26:3 promises us this. This is a declaration to God. "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." I've had moments like that in my life. I remember back to many years ago. In fact, it was just a few weeks after that picture was taken on the coast of Northern Ireland. I was trying to figure out my next steps in life. And actually at that exact time, there was an opportunity for me to come here to Camarillo. I had just finished college, and I was praying about my next steps and where God was leading me. And I just went through a period of doubt and wrestling. God, like I just want to do the right thing, God. I want to go where you are leading me. And there were so many things that were unclear. And I had a lot of angst in my soul just trying to figure this out. And I started to doubt, like, I don't know. I don't think that God is going to make it clear. This is a tough decision, what next steps I should take. And I remember being in my room back home during this time. And as I was thinking about it and as I was praying about it, an overwhelming peace came over me because I remembered a promise in Scripture, in Psalms, that says, "The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me." The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. And it was one of those moments, this is what I'm talking about here, where I was able to declare that trust in God. And that brought peace to my soul, but it brought excitement to my soul to say, "God, I know that you are going to direct me. You are going to make my path clear, because you promised that. In his heart, a man plans his way, but the Lord, what? Directs his steps. God, I know you're going to show me that next step." And that leads me to the last truth that we see, the last truth that strengthens our trust in the shepherd, is that God will provide direction for your journey. Verse 3, David continues, he talks about God leading him. "He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Or some versions say, "He leads me in the right path." And I wish I could say that God's will and God's ways are easy to figure out. I wish I could tell you that it's always going to be crystal clear all the time, that the right and wrong is always going to be obvious, that the next steps for you, if you're a follower of Jesus, that the next steps for you, God's going to make crystal clear right away. But that's not the truth. The truth is that God reveals little by little. In whatever season you're in, he knows exactly what you need and when you need it. He's going to give you the peace and the rest for your soul that you need, but he's also going to provide the direction that you need for your journey. Often God's will can be hard to discern because we want to know the answers. We want to see further ahead. But I'm going to close with a story, and I think this will resonate with many of you. Author Pete Scazzaro retells the story. He calls it a prayer picture of what it looks like to step out into an unknown future when we're walking with Jesus. He says, imagine yourself standing on the banks of a wide, fast-flowing river. You must cross, but there's no bridge. Jesus comes then, carrying a large stone, and places it in the river right in front of you. He then invites you to step out onto it. And every day, he brings another stone, and then another, and another. And you move further out into the water each day. One day, however, you find yourself in the middle of the river with the water rushing all around you, and no new stone appears. And when you cannot move forward, you feel a wave of panic. You look backward to the shore, and only then do you realize where the stones are coming from. Jesus has been systematically dismantling the cottage on the shore behind you, that place in the past where you have lived your entire life, and is turning it one stone at a time into stepping stones for your future. And you take a deep breath and you wait for God. And then when your heart is still, he quietly places the next stone in front of you. He invites you to take yet another step across that fast-moving river. And you realize not now that he will always bring one more stone, just one at a time, and then he'll nudge you forward. And you realize that you can trust him as he continues to take the stones from your past and new stones that he is making and uses them to lead you into your future. But what we know from Psalm 23 is that he leads us in his paths, his right paths, for his name's sake, not for ours, for his glory, for his purposes, not for ours. And I don't know what your fast-flowing river is. But what I do know is that God is constantly and always redeeming our past, using our past. And by his grace and through his redemption, using even the failures and the mistakes of our past, using the experiences also of our past to guide us into the future. But he's also doing a new thing. And he's going to provide whatever it is for the next step for your journey. We all face uncertainties, times when that next step isn't clear, times of waiting, times of confusion, times maybe we're tempted to go back to the past because it's more comfortable than standing on that rock in that fast-flowing river. That can be so much a picture of our lives. But we can trust that the Lord, our shepherd, is going to guide the next step on our journey. He's going to lead us in those paths of righteousness, those paths for his name's sake. He's going to lead us in the right paths. And so as David declares, this confident trust in God. God is my shepherd. God is my leader. I have everything that I need. You have everything that you need. You have everything you need physically. You will have everything you need physically for tomorrow and the next day. You have everything that you need spiritually. Because God continues to give you strength. God continues to give you rest through the power of Jesus. And as you continue to trust him, he is going to make that next step clear for you. Even if it's not clear now, as you trust him and trust his plan for you, for his name's sake, and seek his right path, he will make that clear in his time and in his way. But I also know, too, that there are times where we're going to slip. We're going to fall. We're going to take the wrong turn. But we can always come back. And because of what Jesus has done for us, we can always come and receive mercy and grace again and again. And God brings us right back on that path as we follow him, as we follow our good shepherd, Jesus. Let's pray. Lord God, there are times and seasons where we're not sure of how you're going to provide or what that next step looks like for us. There are times where we are standing out in the fast-flowing river of life and we're looking back to maybe a time in our past where we long to maybe go back to what's comfortable. Or maybe it's just not even there anymore. But God, I pray that you would strengthen our trust in you as our guide, as our provider, as our shepherd, to take those next steps in following you as you lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.